Welcome to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, where we explore the 12 permaculture principles as accessible ways to living a joyful life. We are your hosts. I'm Paul Galoro.
And I'm Catherine Stilo.
And today we're exploring design principle number 5, use and value renewable resources and services. But before we get into today's topic, Catherine, let's have an OM work check-in. So last episode, we were talking self-regulate and accept feedback. Let's hear what your experience is.
I played with observing our interactions with life and taking that a step further. How does what we're doing or even the fact that we're observing impact whatever it is that's being observed? I wanted to share an experience. We've got a duck couple that comes to visit our pond each day, and they know when we are watching, and we've got a blind, and I peek through the little cracks in the blind, and it is amazing that the moment that I do it, the ducks know that we're there. I'm just amazed that this duck can somehow sense, even without seeing us, that we are there watching.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Even being the witness, even watching changes things.
What, how did the duck react?
Most of the time it's a freeze. The duck freezes and kind of waits and watches to see what's going to happen.
Fascinating. So it's almost like the duck observes and interacts itself.
The duck's observing and interacting with me, observing and interacting.
Yeah.
And then we go back and forth. And I think of the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? But that's a whole other podcast.
We'll save that for next time. Mm-hmm. I love that you interacted with nature, because I interacted with an aspect of myself. So little story, I was asked by a publication that I edit copy for, they asked me to write an article. And as every time I would go and start to write this article, I would freeze. I would freak out. I started to notice, like, it was at that moment when I would sit down at my computer that suddenly I need to water all my plants and suddenly I need to do the dishes. So it's like ultimate procrastination. But I stopped for a minute and I decided to look at this aspect as someone else, not me, and have a little conversation. And it was just really interesting to see how I was interacting with that skill of me being a writer, but then also with that part of me that was then being called upon to use that skill to write. And it was very interesting to me because it was, I could see that voice that tries to keep me small. And I could also see that voice that makes me, I'm just going to say this. To me, I believe that my skill as a writer is something that was given to me by spirit. I never, I went to journalism school and we learned how to write news articles, but I just had a knack for words even as a young kid. So to me, that's a gift from spirit. It's almost like, okay, God was saying, I need you to use this skill right now. And I was like, ooh, who, me? I can't do this. And I was playing that little small. So I could see that interaction there. And that was really fascinating. I don't have any answers, but it's like, I noticed the duck is there.
And the duck knows you're there watching. So this is how the observer actually changes. And it's like shining a flashlight on shadow, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is powerful stuff.
I know. And you know, I'm feeling it right now. So I'm excited to get into today's principle, use and value renewable resources and services. And why don't you kick us off with a story to illustrate this?
We've got a Zen tale that's called The Moon Cannot Be Stolen. This is a tale of a Zen master living a very simple life in a little hut at the foot of a mountain. And one evening, a thief visited the hut only to discover there was nothing in it to steal. The Zen master returned and caught the thief and said, "You may have come a long way to visit me, and you should not return empty-handed. Please take my clothes as a gift." The thief was bewildered and took the clothes and slunk away. The Zen master sat naked watching the moon and said, "Poor thief, I wish I could give the thief this beautiful moon."
Okay, first of all, I love this story because it's two of our favorite things, being naked and watching the moon.
We know we love that.
But this is profound, and I'm excited to see how this relates to today's principle. So let's talk about this. We're talking about using and valuing renewable resources and services. So what exactly is a renewable?
So when we talk renewables, renewables are anything that can be used and then replaced by natural processes over a reasonable period of time without any major input or intervention. So when we think about renewables, we've got two types of renewables. We've got renewable resources and we've got renewable services.
Okay, sweet. So renewable basically is something that is, I don't know if recreated or reproduced, but it comes back time and time again with little to no effort.
As close to nature as possible. Regenerative.
And what are some examples of renewable resources?
So the most obvious and kind of the best examples would be the sun, the wind, the water. So on a grand scale, if we think about renewables, this looks like solar panels to harness the energy of the sun. Wind turbines, we've probably all seen wind turbines, smaller versions or larger versions of them to harness the power of the wind. Water, so dams harness the power of the water to create electricity. And this is one that's near and dear to my heart, Earthships. Visionary architect Mike Reynolds, and I know I've mentioned him probably in several episodes. I just think that the Earthship design is brilliant because this is a design that captures this idea of use and value renewable resources. Earthships, for anybody who isn't familiar, are houses that are built from rammed earth tires. They're a passive solar design, which means they're oriented with allowing the sunlight to come in to be used for warmth, for heating. Thermal mass, the way that the wall is structured, battery bank of tires that the sun warms, and then it warms it during the day. At night, when there is no sun, that thermal mass has retained the heat and it's giving it off to regulate the temperature of the air. These Earthships use solar panels, wind turbines to generate the electricity for the house. It's got a system that catches its own water. Then it within the house uses that water, reuses that water through a gray water system, sends that out through a black water system, and it also grows its own food. So this is encapsulated, this idea of this principle, use and value renewable resources.
I love this. This is amazing. So, okay, you talked about, you know, solar panels and wind turbines, like as on the grand scale, what can we do as individuals?
So some accessible ideas that we can do every day. I can give some of the ones that we've applied. So here, 1 year, my partner, John, got this idea to do a little experiment. So wood is another renewable resource. A forest generates wood as a byproduct, and in managing a forest, removing and clearing the dead wood is part of working with nature to help this system. So this wood byproduct is a renewable resource, and using that wood to heat or as a supplemental heat source is an example of using a renewable resource. So 1 year, we did an experiment here to see how long it would take before we had to turn on the furnace. So we started heating with our wood stove, and we've got two wood stoves, one up, one down, and we just kept feeding those. We didn't actually turn on our furnace until the end of January. So we were able to heat with wood and keep the house at a comfortable temperature.
That's amazing. And so I've been like to cottages and cabins and stuff like that, that are only heated with fireplaces. And that is like a very, I don't know, it's a cozy warmth, which is, for me, it feels different than obviously a furnace or whatever. So that must've just been so wonderful.
I love the point that you touched on that there's another aspect of it as well in that, in using that energy, there's a different feel. There's a different energy that's created in the coziness. It was so beautiful and cocooning and nurturing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another example that we do here, we don't have air conditioning, if we do have air conditioning, we've never used it. So we use the blinds and windows to heat and cool. So when the sun comes around into the windows, close the blinds so that the sunlight doesn't come in and heat the house. And we have the windows on the other side open so that on the north side, so that the air flows out. Or if it's a very hot, muggy day, we close the windows entirely. So close everything up, keep the house cool because we've opened the windows at night and then cooled the house. It's cool, then seal it all up the next day. So it's watching these natural cycles of heating and cooling and bringing ourselves into harmony with those so that we can regulate without the need for some external input. We've just tapped into this natural heating and cooling cycle and done a few things like closing blinds, closing everything up to keep it cool, and then opening things up when it's cool outside and letting that come in.
That makes me think about our conversation from last episode about Ayurveda. Now you're doing it, not just the foods that you're eating, but the way that you're, you know, working with the natural flow and cycles in keeping yourself warm and cool. I know there are some people that are committed to their furnaces and that they're committed to their air conditionings. And I completely respect that. And I get that, but these are like little things that we can do to maybe not have it run so long or have it run so high, because the higher it is, the more power that's needed.
Also, you know, understanding that we're not going to be perfect. It's doing what we can because we're all in different situations. Mm-hmm. If we're in downtown Phoenix, obviously this is maybe blinds and windows is just not going to work. So it's looking at our situation and making the small changes that we can to be as close to natural as we can, mm-hmm. with letting go of a need to be perfect, but just thinking about it. One other example that I can give of things that we do here, we line dry or hang to dry our clothes. Mm. Instead of using the tumble dryer, which is electricity. I think we've used our dryer once in 6 years that we've lived here.
Wow.
So we've just hung them on the clothesline or hung them when we've got the fire going, we hang them on a drying rack in front of the fire. So those are simple kinds of things that we can do.
Right. Now we mentioned renewable resources and services. So what are some renewable services?
These are passive functions. So these are benefits that we gain from things in the natural world without consuming them or without harvesting them.
Okay. I need an example.
Okay. Here's a great example. Joel Salatin, revolutionary farmer. He is Polyface Farm in Virginia. Many people may have heard of Joel Salatin. He's been in documentaries, Food Inc. He's been on several Joe Rogan podcasts. He's in a lot of documentaries about these eco-minded approaches to farming. On Polyface Farm, Joel's using a system of rotational grazing and fences, using pigs, cows, chickens in rotation to prepare the ground for planting instead of using tractors, instead of using chemical fertilizers, instead of using chemical pesticides. So there's this natural system in place. And if anybody's interested, Google Joel Salatin, Polyface Farm, watch Food Inc. We'll include some of the Joe Rogan podcasts in the links.
And this, we've spoken about this just personally, the way it works where, you know, first I think it's the pigs come and they eat everything and then they, you know, drop some stuff off and then they move to the next thing. And then the cows come in and do their thing where they eat the certain things that the pigs didn't eat. And then they do their business, drop it off, move on to the next thing. And then the chickens come and they go. So it's like all of that fertilizer that's going in there and it's getting all of the nutrients naturally. And because I'm just assuming in my head, because like the pigs do their business and then the cows come, cows are heavier than pigs. So they're going to like stomp the stuff down into the ground instead of having to go and till the soil and mix it all up. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This is exactly it. It's a natural system of managing all of this without the need for chemical inputs or fossil fuels.
And it's using what we already have. Like we have chickens and we have cows and pigs and stuff that naturally just do this.
Yes.
So there's no need to like create something to do this when it already exists.
Yes. And these animals are happy. They're an expression of Joel's is the pig in its pigness. So these are just, these animals are just being what they naturally do.
Right.
And this applies to all of us. When we're doing what we naturally do, there's a joy. Mm-hmm. We accentuate our joy. So accentuating all of the joys of all of these beings makes this beautiful system.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
There's another great example, Dr. Zach Bush, and listeners have probably heard us mention Dr. Zach Bush in several episodes. He's got an initiative called Farmer's Footprint. And Farmer's Footprint is a coalition of farmers, educators, doctors, scientists, aiming to expose the human and environmental impacts of the way that we're currently doing things, the impacts of chemical farming. And this organization, Farmer's Footprint, is also showing a way forward through these regenerative agriculture practices like Joel Salatin. Joel's one. There's many, many people who are doing this. And it's these types of things that we have to look at the whole picture and how we're doing things now and what it's doing. What are the consequences of what we're doing on a bigger scale? It's looking at the whole, which is what permaculture asks us to do. Everything impacts everything else. So everything comes with, as we talked about with the duck in our homework, what we're doing impacts something else, and that something else impacts us. So we have to look at what we're doing and look at a way forward that's more in harmony with the world.
Speaking of we, what can we do as individuals to be mindful of using renewable services?
So some of the things that we've done here, using trees as shade, that's an example of a renewable service. So use the trees as shade. And this could look like if there are south-facing windows in the house, then planting some deciduous trees. Deciduous are trees that lose their leaves in the winter. Mm. And that what that would mean is that when they're leafed out in the summer, the sunlight isn't beating down into those windows and then heating the house and then creating a need for air conditioning. In the winter, when we do want that heat, the trees have lost their leaves, so the sunlight is coming in and then warming the house. Another thing that we've done here is create microclimates. And this can be done, so this is creating an area in our yard that is warmer than others. That was our goal, is try to extend the growing season by making an area a little bit warmer. And this can be done with rock walls. So putting some rocks in place in the garden, it can be around the garden, it can be worked beautifully into the landscaping. And what happens with a rock, it's the same idea as in the earthship, that the rock is thermal mass. It's a battery bank. So the sun warms that rock in the day. If anybody's touched a rock after a period of sunlight, it's quite warm. Then at night when there is no sun, that warmth is still held in that rock. And then the air is cooler. So that heat from the rock moves out and it keeps the area around that rock a couple degrees warmer. So it can make the difference in what can be grown there. So these are some ways to apply this.
I love this. So let's talk about some like inspired actions that I can take right now and our listeners. What can we do to get this going?
We can look at places where we've created complexity for simple functions. Example, a dryer. We can look where we've traded in too much for convenience. Mm. Look at places where we can harness the power of sun or wind or water. A great phrase for this principle is let nature take its course. be as harmonious as we can, look at the harmonious possibilities, the harmonious interactions of and with nature.
Oh, I love that. Let nature take its course, because that is so applicable to so many things. And I'm excited to get to our next segment. But before we get to that, let's loop it back to the story.
Looping it back to the story, we think of, I wish I could give this beautiful moon.
And I love that, because I know, and you know, we know, oh, I go back to that experience that we had together in your backyard looking at the moon, how energized I was from just standing there taking it all in.
Taking in that energy and recognizing that everything we need is already provided by the earth. If we recognize the value of those renewable resources and services, and if we set things up in a way that we can be in relationship with the earth.
And it's all about improving our relationships with the earth, with each other, with ourselves. Oh my gosh, I love that. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how we can use this principle to thrive.
Paul, you'd mentioned something about your meditation program, 40 Days of Stillness. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up. So what this program is, I've created it a while ago as a way to begin or deepen a daily meditation practice. So let's just back it up for a second. Why meditation? If you think about our physical practice, whether it's yoga, Pilates, HIIT training, whatever it is that we do this kind of work to strengthen our physical musculature, improve our flexibility, and work on our alignment. Meditation does the same thing, but for our attitudinal musculature. It helps us to strengthen our resilience. It helps us to create a little bit more flexibility in our mind. And it helps us to really align with essence, spirit, God, divine intelligence, whatever it is that we think of when we think of the truth of who we are. So I created this program called 40 Days of Stillness. And every day you receive a 5-minute meditation in your inbox. And all you have to do is stop, sit, and breathe as you listen to the recording, and it'll guide you through. And over the 40 days, you'll be exposed to many different types of mindfulness techniques that can really help you to strengthen the attitudinal musculature.
That sounds absolutely amazing and needed at this time. How will listeners find out about this?
So check out our show's notes, because all of the links and everything are in there. And I just want to add, I'm offering this program to all of our listeners at only $21. Check out the show notes. And if you have any questions, send us an email.
Welcome back to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, where we're discussing in this episode, principle number 5, use and value renewable resources and services. So Paul, let's start talking about how this principle can show up in our lives.
I want to take it back to what you said earlier, where you said, let nature take its course. It makes me think of a quote that Marianne Williamson often talks about, that, you know, the acorn knows to be an oak tree. The bud knows to blossom. You know, a fetus knows to grow into a baby. We've all been programmed to be the whatever it is that we're meant to be, with the certain skills that we have, with the certain interests that we have, et cetera. So when you say let nature take its course, I really go back to, we need to get out of our own way and allow that which is within us to come forth so that our joy can be fully expressed at all times, or at all times. Joy needs to be expressed at all times. Okay, now I'm putting demands on joy. Settle down, Paul, but you get what I'm saying, right?
There is a natural intelligence and natural energy within all of us that is there and renewable and rechargeable if we take care to do the things that support that rejuvenation and allow that natural essence to come through.
Mm-hmm. It makes me really think of self-care practices, but not just like go get your nails done and your hair did, but like Like even thinking back to some of our earlier episodes where we talked about, you know, sit in the sun and just feel that. Like there, you know, we talked about solar panels earlier. I believe that we have like a solar panel built into ourselves that when we go stand out there, it's like we're recharged by the sun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And keeping it on a non-abstract level,
yes,
keeping it in the vitamin D from the sun, we can go out and replenish our vitamin D by sitting in the sun for a short period of time.
Right. Yes, exactly. And also how beneficial is that for many of the systems in our body? You know, vitamin D is important for our immune system, and how important is it for us to have that strong and healthy right now? And here's another example, my relationship with the sourdough starter that you gifted me, right? Her name is Bloom, for those that are listening. And Catherine, you gifted me this beautiful life. It's life. And I have this relationship with her. And so when I feed her and then we make bread together, that is like the love that I'm put. It's funny because I'm just thinking of my brother-in-law. When I shared my bread with my family, he's like, Paul, I know you're going to tell me the main ingredient is love, but what else is in this bread? And it is that love, right? Because sourdough is fermented culture. It's alive. So we start to attune to one another. I'm just pouring love into the food, that into the bread that I'm making, that then goes into my body, into other people. It becomes that renewable resource. And it makes me think of like your garden.
It's those cycles of replenishment. And something that I heard you say, and we mentioned in another episode, is being in relationship with the foods that we're eating. So, I mean, let's talk about food choices as this way to recharge this energy battery, the foods that we're eating, whole foods, reduce the reliance on foods that are grown with conventional practices or that need a lot of processing.
Right.
Think about the practices that are used to grow the food. Have a local farmer grow the food that you know, if that farmer is loving that food, because to your point, that love that's infused, I mean, people might joke about that and think that it's kind of a funny little thing to say. It's absolutely true with this vibration, and looping it back to our duck story about how what we observe and what these energies are, that things know that we're there. We are this vibrating living web that things get infused by vibration. Mm-hmm. So growing our own food, mm-hmm. not only is that a renewable, because grow the food, then save the seed, and then grow food the next year and then save the seed. So that becomes a renewable cycle. It's also my energy going into that plant. I consume that plant, that energy comes back to me. I grow another from the seed of that plant. So there's this continual cycle, like the sourdough bread example.
Yeah. Well, and okay. So first of all, let's just, we're not saying to, you know, go and start growing these giant gardens, but even like, because this year I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff in pots, like having that one tomato plant and just focusing on the soil there. Oh, and then also, if I could just take it back to something that you said earlier, eating whole foods, if you think about eating, like consuming life, when you consume life, you are alive, right? So if we think of a lot of the foods that come in boxes or that are frozen, they're so void of life that, like really that old adage, you are what you eat. You're something that's like been dehydrated and processed. And well, you're not that, but if you're consuming that, imagine what it's doing for your body. And if we go back to what you said about let nature take its course, nature doesn't know what to do with that. Yeah. So if we consume something that is alive, whether we've grown it or not, talk about the richness in the color that you're consuming is going to bring more color into your life. Things that are sweeter are going to bring more sweetness into your life.
It's looking at our food choices and asking, is it renewing our energy? And to your example of the processed food, not really a lot of energy in there because it's not alive. Mm-hmm. Putting that in my body, that's not renewing, probably depleting my energy in the effort that then my body needs to take to process all of those things that are waste and can't be used by the body. And then what happens is then we're relying on stimulants or something else to moderate our energies rather than working with these natural systems of being alive food, and that's replenishing our energy. And then we have energy, so we don't have to rely on those stimulants in order to get that energy because we've tapped into this natural cycle.
Right.
I like what you said, that we're not saying to everybody, go out and grow a big garden, because that's not available to everybody. And this is understandable. So it's taking it to the steps that we can do, taking it back to the permaculture principle of small, slow solutions. So do the next best step that's manageable for where we are at this point in time. That might be starting that one plant to have a relationship with and have that food exchange. That might be making the decision to go to local farmers markets and get to know who is growing the food and what energy they're putting into the food. It might be, hey, I'm gonna try a garden plot. And then of course start small and then expand it and then get bigger. And then there's the sharing of energy with the friends, and I've grown this and have too much, so I'll trade with you who's got too much of something else, and just sharing and gifting. We've found that growing our own food, we've had so much that we can't possibly consume it ourselves. So we have given some to our neighbors.
Wow. Talk about abundance.
Abundance.
Right? Yeah. So going back to what you said about, you know, when we eat foods that are degenerative, then it requires more energetic input to just process that. When we shift away from degenerative foods and regenerative and consume more regenerative foods, what happens at a subtle level is that our body, it's renewed, like the energy that it needs just is coming in, but our body, our energy body, also has the capacity to process and digest our experiences. You know, let's take the last 13 months. That's a lot of emotional stuff to process. If our body isn't well taken care of, our energy system goes into taking care of our body. But once our body is taken care of, that energy system can go into the emotional body, which is where a lot of us, there's a lot of junk that needs to be released.
Keeping system balance versus system overwhelm.
Yes. I love that. And then it makes me think in another direction of not just our food, yes, food, but going back to relationship with food, relationship with nature, but also the relationships in our lives. Are our relationships regenerative? You know, I don't like to throw out my plants unless they're absolutely dead. If there's a chance I could save it by just pouring a little bit more love into it, I will. I'm committed to it. I brought you into my home to be part of my environment here for a reason. If I'm unable to provide what it is you need to thrive, I get it. You're going to have to go, but at least I tried my best. And so I like to think of that with my relationships as well. Not all relationships are unicorns and rainbows and we're skipping down fields holding hands and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes, well, all the times, you know, relationships require input that requires us to then go away from the relationship to recharge from that.
What are some of the things that you do to recharge and restore?
I take off all my clothes, listen to my records and dance because I love movement and I love music. What about you?
I love nature, using nature to recharge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And getting out into the natural world. I get so much healing and personal renewal from being with the trees and the water and the rocks and beautiful vistas. And yeah.
I love that. How amazing does it feel to walk up to a tree and be like, are you open to hugs? And then embracing. Oh, you know, that's one thing that got me through 2020. I couldn't hug people, but I went in and I hugged trees.
Trees are beings. Trees are, and I think the previous episode we've talked about the plants are roommates. These are our planet mates. Mm-hmm. These are other beings that have their energy systems too. So there's this beautiful recharge and renewal on that. I hug trees as well. Mm-hmm. Literally hug trees.
It feels good when you find that right one that you just fit perfect. It's like the perfect spoon. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. and asking permission. Asking if that tree is open to hugs. And the another thought that comes to mind on the using nature to recharge, and also being very respectful and taking only what we need, herbal medicines, being open to alternative ways to treat our ailments, because there's so much richness in the natural world that is available to us, that is growing and replenishing itself. And it's there if we manage it in being respectful and only taking a portion. And there's great herbalists that can outline sustainable harvesting and being respectful to the plant, and also know how to direct people. So I'm not saying, you know, just all of a sudden decide to use herbal medicines. Maybe just try a few, be open, consult the experts in this and know what you're taking and what interactions there are. But there's so much power in herbal medicine that isn't processed, that didn't take a whole lot of input. For an example, a personal example is we have mint that grows in our backyard. It's just wild mint that's there. And mint is great for so many things. We take it and turn it into mint tea, which is great for cooling the body ayurvedically, great for digestion. So there's lots of ways to interact in a harmonious way with nature, and not have to look to something that required inputs and processings and package and fossil fuel. And if we stop and think of everything that went into what we're using, then we start to say, oh, is there a simpler way, a way that's closer to nature, a more natural way to do this?
Well, and then it just loops, if we loop it back to the story, it makes me think where he says, oh, wish I could have given that beautiful moon. You know, that just nature is such a gift. And maybe we just start here. How can we invite more nature into our lives?
Give ourselves the gift of natural wonder. Recharge ourselves with those moments that are awe-inspiring.
Yes, and so it is. I love that.
Everything we need is provided by the earth. If we recognize the value of those resources, if we set it up that way, if we think of ourselves as being in relationship with the earth, the Zen master in the story knew that the things of value are not material things. They're the natural things. Look for those harmonious possibilities, those harmonious interactions with nature.
Yes. All right, Thrivers, we've had a beautiful conversation here. We want to know your experience of this. How does this show up in your life? Let us know. You can either put it in the comments wherever you're listening to this, or send us an email, comealivepodcast@gmail.com. And I just want to say on behalf of Catherine and myself, thank you to everyone that has been communicating with us via these channels, because it's so lovely to hear that you're enjoying these conversations as much as we are. So thank you for that. Keep it coming. But Kitty girl, we're not going anywhere without a little bit of om work.
We love the om work. So for this principle, om work, can we play with the idea of being in relationship to the earth? And this would come in the form of, if I'm cold, layer up instead of turning up the heat. If I'm hot, take layers off instead of turning on the air conditioning. Play with the heating and cooling, with the blinds and open windows, and just experiment. See what we can do. Line dry clothes, hang dry clothes. Just take those small steps.
I love that. And because that really, you said it, is going to help us look at our relationship with the earth. Now let's talk about our relationship with others, because as A Course in Miracles says, relationships are the laboratory of the soul. This is where we do all of our soul work. Are we being replenished or are we being depleted?
And how about a bonus homework of keeping ourselves recharged and replenished with nature? Cultivate this relationship with spirit. Go for a walk in nature and see how it feels. And taking a quote from the movie, The Bucket List, witness something majestic.
Okay. I'm going to sign off here so I can go for a walk in nature and witness something majestic. Catherine, I know you're going to be doing the same. So Thrivers, remember to join the Living Spiritfully Collective Facebook group where we can continue this discussion. Remember to check out our websites and the links in the show's notes. And of course, you can email us comealivepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, we're meant to thrive. How will you come alive?
Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, is a regenerative living production in association with Pollerin Studios and The Elementals. Hey! Executive producer, Catherine Stilo. Co-producer and sound engineer, Paul Galoro. Inspired by and dedicated to Mother Earth, our bio-intelligence and the spirit that moves through all things. A big thank you and much love to you, our community, for subscribing to and sharing this podcast.